Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose, and all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the men's room.
Hello, here we go. Welcome to show number 3030. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, Wobbin Fox, and Mike Hawk.
Montgomery!
Are in the men's room. On tap today, here come the bad jokes, bitches. The return of Ted versus the FCC. Get ready to play Profile This!
Plus headlines, a men's room shot of the day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite TV time with Ted.
Clack.
All right, here we go. Florida man arrested for disturbance at a bar, then he grabs the fingerprint technician's butt.
Ah.
In Connecticut, a man is golfing when a bobcat jumps on his back, and he misses a two-foot putt.
To Australia, where Dingo sneaks into van and attempts to drag a baby away.
In Chicago, it might be the time for a car to go to pack it up and call it a day.
And Sweden's latest reality show is all about waiting for an elk.
That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, let's face it. The news, well, the news is the news. And frankly, most of the time, the news is just a whole bunch of bad news. We're not in the mood for that crap today. Oh, no. Today, we want to hear something good. You know, good things happen to people. Take a North Carolina man. He just won $250,000 on a lottery scratch-off. That was a... Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Yeah, he also found out that he has stage 4 liver cancer.
Oh, man.
Okay, how about the woman in Arkansas? She got good news. She found out that she just won $150,000 in Powerball. Says she's going to buy herself a new house. Oh, Miles, you're not going to believe this, man. Apparently, she's buying a new house because the house she had been living in just burned to the ground. She lost everything. All right, well, let's try it again. Good news out of Tennessee. Police in Tennessee, they discovered a secret bunker in the woods. And when they got to that secret bunker, they found a fugitive who'd been running from the law for the last 5 months. Oh, no, it's too bad. Actually, they weren't looking for him at all. They were looking for a woman who disappeared over a year ago. They never found her. She's still missing. But if you ignore those bad parts, overall, sounds like people have good news. So today, we want to talk about good news. It happens every so often, and this is what we want to know. What good news or good thing has happened to you lately?
Be part of the big show. Call 844-999-OLA. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send your emails to themensroom@mensroomlive.com. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hola, bitchola. You have entered the men's room.
Hola, bitchola, and away we go. Welcome to show number 3030.
What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Once again, the exciting return of Ted versus the FCC. Steve and I were up pretty late last night coming up with some rhymes and riddles for Ted versus the FCC. Man, I don't know what was in that stuff last night, but man, when it hit me, I could not believe it.
Sometimes, Miles, you just don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
But you need to buy some more laundry detergent.
And I'm warning everybody before they ever try anything like that again. Either way, it kept us up very late into the evening.
Is it some wow-wow?
Wow. I mean, wow.
I thought it said mom. Maybe I misread it. My bad.
I'm not sure. It was unbelievable. But anyway, we came up with great tongue twisters, but lo and behold, we came in today, and when you know, a listener submitted a Ted versus the FCC. So as we always say, the listener comes first. So we have a listener submission in Ted versus the FCC. Bad jokes on the way as we drink and toast into the shot of the day. Another round of profile this. And today, we're going to talk about good news. So we're going to talk about good things that have happened to you, either good news that you've received or a good thing that's happened to you lately. Let's start with a couple stories dealing with babies, if we could. People seem to be happy with babies. Babies make people happy when they come into the world.
Well, sure, they stay crunchy and milk.
Yeah, I mean, it's babies, not the life. People love babies. Well, here you go. Researchers at St. Jude Children's Hospital in Memphis just announced a new treatment that could totally cure the boy in the bubble syndrome. The disease had its own movie.
Is that John Travolta?
That's exactly right.
A little bubble.
Wait, it's the bubble boy?
Bubble
Boy. The boy in the bubble. Yeah,
it was a plastic bubble.
It was a big TV movie when I was a kid.
But John Travolta.
Yeah, it was.
But then
John
there was
Travolta.
Another one they made called Bubble Boy.
But that was a comedy, right? Was
it? Oh, wait a minute. Right, the Travolta one was a drama?
Yes.
Yeah, it was based on a true story.
Oh, yeah, listen. So
it was based on a true story.
For Hour 8, yeah, it was based on some kid. But anyway, John Travolta played it. It was a TV movie 1,000 years ago, but yeah, it was serious. Like,
John Travolta, I got problems.
The disease he had in the movie is called severe combined,
severe combined, say it, man.
Immunodeficiency.
That's right.
Or SCID.
Yeah.
For short, my baby's got the SCIDs.
I got SCIDs.
And
put me in a bubble, mama.
It's when you're born without an immune system.
Well, that sucks.
So without treatment, the survival rate is only about a year or two. Well, the new treatment involves harvesting stem cells from the patient's bone marrow, and they modify those genes, and researchers use that as a deactivated version. Oh, they use a deactivated version of HIV to do it. So a similar treatment made headlines 5 years ago, but apparently this one's even better because it fixes all three types of cells needed for a healthy immune system.
Okay.
So this is good news. Well, the president of St. Jude says it works so well, they're comfortably using the word cure. The only question is whether more treatments will be necessary later on. So far, once is enough, and kids who get the treatment end up with a full immune system, just like the rest of us. Now they just want to see if kids still have all that immunity 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the line.
I bet you those kids can give you another treatment 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the line. That's they deactivate HIV.
Yeah, pretty much so.
But these kids don't have HIV.
Oh, no. But that
which attacks your immune system. But if you deactivate, it just does the opposite then?
I'm going to assume.
Here's some immune system.
That it realizes that even though it's deactivated, it's still something that's harmful to the body. And whatever that is triggers the immune system.
That's so
to
weird
start
to
functioning.
Me.
Or who knows? Bone marrow, all this stuff. I mean, bone marrow is delicious.
Depending, yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. If you get some good marrow, it's heavy. But
like in a soup or something like that?
Yeah, or like if you've just got bone marrow where you scoop it out and just eat it.
Have I? I don't think so.
Oh, man, that's pretty tremendous stuff.
Where were you that you just scoop a marrow? I mean, would you have a plane crash in Brazil?
No. Some of the steakhouses.
Okay. Do like roasted bone marrow, and you're there. It's kind of like cut, and there's the bone, and you scoop out the marrow and eat it.
See, I like how you connect dots. Like, hey, man, kids, instead of being in a bubble, look, we can actually give you an immune system from bone marrow. Side note, delicious at a steakhouse.
It really is. It's fantastic.
Is there anything you can't do?
No, that's what I mean. Like, if you've had bone marrow,
you can eat it, you can treat it, it's bone marrow.
I believe it cures everything. You know what I mean? After you have a bite, you're like,
I don't know that I've actually eaten it.
Problem, it can treat it. If you're hungry, you can eat it. Bone marrow.
It is.
But is it like eating what's the fancy stuff that people love? Pate?
No, this is more. I mean,
that texture's so odd for me.
Because it's a liver.
Foie gras?
Well, pate or foie gras both have that texture.
It's sort of on that level.
All it's heavy.
You would love it.
It's heavy. Takes you a while to get it.
But does it taste meaty?
Does it taste salty?
No. It's
does it taste marrowy?
It's delicious. I can't describe it.
Does it taste like the essence of the cow?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. It takes all the parts.
Is that a sales pitch?
And sticks it in the bone.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a happy story in the end, although it's a little bit of a sad story at the beginning. Liz Smith is the director of nursing at a hospital in Brighton, Massachusetts, and that's near Boston. And about 2 years ago, she got obsessed with one of her patients, an eight-month-old baby named Giselle. She noticed Giselle being wheeled down a hallway and asked another nurse about her. And it turned out that she had a bunch of issues because her mom was a drug addict and she was less than 2 pounds when she was born. So she was quite the preemie. But here is the really heartbreaking part of the story. The nurse told her that in the 5 months that Giselle had been there in the hospital, not one person had come to visit the baby.
Well, this is good news so far, Miles.
Social services had been trying to place her in foster care. So that night, Liz decided she'd take care of her. She's in her 40s, doesn't have any kids of her own, but she's always wanted, bless you, Ted, kids. So 3 weeks later, she got permission to take Giselle home temporarily. That was 2 years ago. Giselle still has some health issues, but she's doing a lot better now. The Washington Post just did a story on them because Liz was finally able to officially adopt her late last year. So there you go.
There you go.
That's a good news story. So our question, what good news or good thing has happened to you lately? 844-999-OLA. And don't worry, we'll all be very judgmental on your good news.
Sure. I mean, you might think it's good news.
We'd be like, oh, really?
That's good for you, huh?
Like,
that's
good
news?
I got an onion ring, man, when I got my fries at Burger King. Bonus!
Well, that is kind of good news.
And all of us still enjoy that.
I do.
Because you're never unhappy to see.
You're so surprised.
It's not massive, but that is good news.
Yeah, it really is.
Because you'll tell people, damn, this thing happened today. I was getting fries and burgers. I swear to God, I got two onion rings. Mm-hmm. Great day.
Whenever you get something straight from the fryer, as long as it's not like been in there over five different times, I go, oh, have a mozzarella stick.
Sweet. The other one that gets me all fired up is sometimes, like, if you're at a bar, specifically if you're, like, just, like, one dude or two dudes, and the bartender be like, it was a mispour. Do you want it?
Yes!
Yeah, for free?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's a lager. You don't like lagers, Ted. I'll drink it. Thank you.
Look, man, when it's free and you offer it,
I
right?
like lagers. Come on. We all like lagers.
Dude, it can be mixed drinks.
Honestly, I don't.
I'm not
against them. I'm just saying, right, I'd much prefer a Pilsner.
Well,
okay. Or an ale.
I'm not a big Pilsner fan, but Robin insists there is this Pilsner that's like the greatest thing since ever. And she's like, ooh, I got to remember that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you're right. Even if you're wrong, I'm going to drink it.
What good news or good thing has happened to you lately? 844-999-OLA.
By the way, hang on. Just the comments coming in. It says HIV is immune deficiency caused by a virus. The other is the same, but caused by genetics, not a virus.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that makes sense. Thank you for being smart. Hello, Alex. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So my good news is I've been living here for about 3 years now. I finally got a new job that I start next week as a 911 dispatcher.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Pump the brakes on this.
All right.
Now, it's great that you got a new job. That's obvious. Mm-hmm. That part is obvious. I get that. But then 911 dispatcher. So to me, there's one of three kinds of calls you answer. The 911 call where you're going, why in the F did you call 911? This is not a freaking emergency. But you have to be nice how you mm-hmm. say it. This is an emergency, but it's just something stupid. Like the guy, look, man, I can't get my penis out of the vacuum cleaner. But you still professionally cannot laugh out loud at this person. Or the person who calls it, and it's truly just some horrible stuff.
I will say this, too. As far as the shift, that is important as well. Because like any other job, your job, I'm sure, has ebbs and flows, or will have ebbs and flows like others.
I think it's like 7-Eleven.
It is. And it's also like, I live by a hospital, and I spend some time in a hospital, where, you know, spending a week or two. And so you see the pattern of when things are a little bit more crazier than
Thursday,
not.
Friday, Saturday night.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Well, especially Friday and Saturday night. You know, like I've watched, I had a room at one point in time that I could see the helicopter pad on the airport because the building that was connected to us was where it was in the same hospital. But you'd have one.
Shock trauma, yeah.
You'd have one helicopter waiting for another one to take off so that it could land, you know, waiting to unload because there was more people coming in.
Yeah, but that was Baltimore. People get shot all the time.
Exactly. But
it wasn't like an accident.
Friday night anywhere is going to be different than a Monday night or an overnight on a Sunday night. You know what I'm saying?
So what did you do before you took the job as a 911 dispatcher?
Well, I've been working as just an electrician up here. Okay. Before I moved here, though, I was an ambulance dispatcher in California.
Oh, you were a 911 dispatcher already?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, let's try this.
We did ambulances, but yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. We're going to recreate. We're going to give you a test run because you said it's been a while.
All right, here we go.
You can't be rusty doing emergencies, man. So thank God you called.
Okay,
it'll make your life a little easier, Alex. All right, you ready?
Yep.
Ready?
Right. Mm-hmm.
It rings like that when you call 911.
Yeah, this is exactly.
You gonna pick up the phone or what, dude? I got an emergency.
Alan, get the phone, man. Somebody needs
the other line. You are already
failing
the job.
You're talking on the wrong line.
What are you doing? Answer the phone.
Oh, my God.
This is unbelievable.
Here, I'll pick it up. Alex, just take the call. Hello?
Hello, 911. What's your emergency?
Listen, I think I've got some really bad acid, and I think I might have cut my penis off.
Are you bleeding?
I'm bleeding profusely.
All right, what's your address?
800. What is our address? Fifth Avenue, yeah. Profusely. I'm right across the street from a hospital. Should I try to just walk to the polyclinic?
You can walk over there if you feel you can, or get a dry compress and apply hard pressure.
I don't want to pay the ambulance fee, so don't call them. But if I get an Uber, do you think I'll have to pay the $400 cleanup fee if I get blood in his Toyota Prius?
Most likely.
Ah, still cheaper.
I still think that's cheaper than the ambulance ride. All right, I'm going to put a tourniquet on this thing.
All right, well done.
Yeah, congratulations.
What is the most bizarre call you've had?
The most bizarre call I've had was a lady called and said she was concerned about a bump down in her lady area.
Oh, no.
Didn't know what it was. Didn't hurt. Didn't know nothing. Just a large bump.
Now, wait.
Was that a lovely lady hump?
Do you ask her to describe it? I mean, because to her, this is an emergency. So now you have to listen to this woman. Do you say, like, where exactly is it on your vagina?
No, I just basically get a chief complaint, and I let the ambulance crews handle that part.
See, I think I'd jump right in. That's why I don't think I'd be good at 911. Like, do you have dark, thick hair? Is it coarse? There's a chance that this could be an infected hair. Does it look like a zit?
Squeeze it.
Yes.
Squeeze it.
Can you pop it? Because if so, there might be a hair that comes out of there that's probably like 4 inches long. It's just been living in there. You know what I mean?
If it's not that, you're in trouble.
So you pop it, and if nothing happens, call me back.
And what's the most emergent emergency you've gotten?
Oh, I've had, you know, people needing to give CPR instructions to them on the phone. And the one thing I never did get that seemed like every other dispatcher did get was delivering a baby over the phone.
Wow, what?
Do they train you for that?
Yeah, absolutely they do.
What other scenarios then do you get trained in that are high possibility?
Let me ask you this. So it's one thing if I call you and you're giving me instructions about how to best deliver a baby without medical help. And I get that because at that point I trust you. But since I'm not in that situation, I'm just asking you, if you were sitting in the back of a cab and some woman starts crowning, do you think you could calmly deliver that baby just based on the info you tell people?
I believe I could.
Okay.
Right. I remember a lot of it.
Is it like?
I feel like I could, but who knows in the situation?
Do you have like a bartender book? You know, like I walk into some bar and go like, "Give me a moose knuckle," you know, with whatever, and they have to go through the book to find out what the hell it is, and they make it. Do you have one of those?
Some places do.
All right.
Some places do. They'll have little like a set of instructions you can pull up.
Okay. All right. Well, congratulations, man. That's awesome. I hope you don't get put on the overnights.
Man, oh man, that's just not a job I'd want.
I think if you're calm, cool, and collective, you're
not a job I want.
And you can
why change that?
Because everyone who calls there, for the most part, would I'd have to think be in some type of hysteria. Because
so probably
if you're
some
calling
kind
911,
of hysteria,
something bad has happened.
No. If you're calling 911, you believe something bad has happened, and you may or may not be correct. And that's where my patience goes out the window. So if it's delivering a baby, I think I could calmly. I have no idea how to do it. I'd be like, call 911, but. Like, figured out you could get through it. But if you called me and said, I have a bump on my vagina, I have a difficult time not saying things like, are you effing kidding me? Like, lady, go figure it out. And obviously, that's not the thing to say. But I'm saying, it's for, like, the emergencies, it's tough to deal with. Just mentally, you just want other people to do well.
I think Miles is right. Most people, it's something bad, right? Like, a loved one just fell over and is having a heart attack. Right? You're going to be hysterical.
Mm-hmm. I get that. But I'm just not, I mean, and look, I don't know if it's just the stupid ones make the news, but you hear about all of these dumb calls that come in. I just feel like I would lose my patience from people. Like, do you know what an emergency is, man?
Does he have a life insurance policy? Is he moving? How much is it?
Don't call it. Well, pretend this call never happened.
Yeah.
I won't tell anyone. Hello, Johnny. Welcome to the men's room.
What car does he drive?
I drive a Dodge Ram.
Oh, nice.
Oh, here you go.
Hold up. Perfect.
I love the chillers.
Well, that's the good news. You got a nice truck.
I wouldn't say it's nice, but
okay. So, what good news or good thing has happened to you?
Okay, so I was the one that's, you know, lived in Russia forever, And then when I came back, I got a nice little severance package and stuff. And the wife and I and my two babies lived in a duplex until I found another job up here driving the lift truck or whatever. Excuse me, guys. And then, you know, after having that kind of money or stuff like that, I was actually starting to make money over here, so we decided to buy a house. Well, the wife's been in the medical field for I don't know how long. I mean, she's from now to what I'm about talking about, she should be a doctor by now. But she'd been wanting to become a nurse. And, you know, all the way through that, but in the bills and stuff, and me not making the kind of money I was making in Russia, making the money out here, after buying the house, I had to go through Chapter 13 just to save the house. And luckily, the job that I had, you know, I was working, almost 70 hours a week for almost 6-7 years. So I was able to pay back, the Chapter 13 and all this other stuff. Well, the wife kept saying that, you know, she has to take this Q's test, or she has to do this test or that test, and this hospital won't do it. And all of a sudden, because they changed all the laws for their nursing degree. Well, finally, about 2 months after I got done with my Chapter 13, and she's making good money, too. She's making like 22, 23 bucks an hour. She drops on me that she got accepted to nursing school. That was the good news. Well, I don't know if you guys know, once you accept the nursing school, you have to quit your job.
Oh, no. Are you sure this is good news?
I mean, it's good news in 2 years once she becomes a nurse because she's making twice as much as I'm making.
All right. Are you able to support her through the time since you were out of the Chapter 13 and you saved some money?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like I said, I was working 70 hours. Well, all of a sudden, they just started doing a different management shift where I'm up here at Sierra Pacific. They cut my hours down to 45. So, like, this is where I could talk to you today on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You guys obviously not there Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, we're there every day. We work every day.
Yeah.
We just don't take calls.
Right, exactly. We tape everything beforehand.
That sounds like good news. You sound happy about it. That's kind of good news. That's contagious.
Right, exactly. I might go to Chapter 13 again.
That's great. Yeah,
she got accepted. What good news or good thing is happening to you later?
I'm hungry.
844-999-HOLA. More your calls coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Our question today, what good news or good thing has happened to you lately? 844-999-HOLA. This is a pretty good news story for a second anyway. Almost a good news story. So it's got some good news.
Well, then it's just half glass or what, glass half empty or half full.
Depends on how you look at it, right? All right, there's a 2-month-old baby pig, and it got rescued in France. An animal rescue activist looked after the animal and then kept the animal for a few years after it was saved when it was just 2 months old. The activist had to move, though, and no longer had the space to keep the growing pig. The pig was getting bigger and bigger each year.
Well, sure.
So she gave it to a neighbor.
Wholly unexpected, of course.
And the neighbor and her signed an adoption contract because she loved the pig. She just had nowhere to put it because she was moving into a city. So she just wanted the adoption contract to basically state, look, could you just look after my pet for the rest of its natural life?
Sure.
Well, the neighbor, for whatever reason, entrusted the pig to her ex-husband, who called a butcher friend to kill it with a shotgun. Prosecutors say police found more than 240 pounds of canned pork and pate at the neighbor's home in northwest France.
It depends how you look at this.
Pork pate? Anybody? Pork pate? Is this
I'm
like,
out. Is this I'm like, out on pate, period.
Yeah, is this like canned? Is this like the canned ham spread?
I don't think so,
what are we thinking this
I don't know. I don't know what it is, but either way.
Why would you waste all that?
I think it's like liverwurst, almost.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. That would make sense.
Well, they prosecuted the woman. She said the animal was too big to feed him. That's what she said. He had escaped several times from his pen, which apparently wasn't true. So I had entrusted it to my ex-husband, who called in a butcher to kill him with a shotgun. That was according to what the woman told the court last week. Well, unfortunately for her, the ex-husband testified as well. And he said he didn't know anything about an adoption contract and claimed his ex-wife never said anything about the thing being a bother or getting out. And basically, she told him she planned to eat the animal from the start. She was fined $500 and given a 3-month suspended sentence.
That is I want your pig. Sure, man.
No problem.
Yeah.
I mean, if you give me a pig, it's getting slaughtered.
But at least you say it. You said it. So I'd be like, listen, my pet pig, so I'm not going to give it to Ted because Ted's going to eat my pig.
Yeah.
If you said, sure, dude, I will watch your pig. I'll sign this adoption paper. Otherwise, it's more like a grocery store receipt.
I bet if it was your pet.
You know what? I take that back.
I bet it was your pig.
If it was your pig, of course I would take care of it.
Ted's going to eat it.
No worries, man.
Pet solutions. If that was your pet pig, You wouldn't.
Well, if it's my pet, that's different.
Right, I know.
But it's somebody else's pig. Somebody else's bacon walking around.
That's why I would be afraid to ever get like a calf or a pig or anything like that as a pet. Or just something that would be a part of my life. Like whether I had a farm or not, because I know damn well.
If you got a farm, come on, man.
I know, but I know by the end of it, man, I wouldn't eat bacon anymore. I'd probably cut back.
You would. You're just.
I know. If it's my pet, it's a different relationship.
But it's part of the circle of life.
Right.
You raised it,
and now it's sustaining you.
One of my cousins married into a family that had cattle. Right? So when they got married, like the day after, the party was the best steaks and burgers I ever had. It was like, a couple people were like, is that the cow we met? And they're like, yeah. And like, but and they weren't mean about it. They were just like, well, yeah, but it was, we were going to kill it.
Delicious. Right.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't have a name, it doesn't bother anyone.
If you say, it was named.
Oh, geez.
What was the cow's name?
See, that's different.
I don't remember.
Betsy?
That's the name changer, right?
Yeah.
The game changer.
If it's got a name, like, hey, Bessie the cow, we're eating.
I mean, Bessie. I'd like to think if I had a cow and named it, and I've had a couple heads of cattle, that I could kill one and eat it.
Okay.
But, I mean, I don't know, but I'd like to think I'd have that strength.
I'm not saying you couldn't. It just seems like...
How do you know when it's time to kill the animal?
When you're hungry.
I know what I mean. Like,
well, it's a celebration, like a wedding. You need some good meat.
I know, but...
I got to think, you'd probably... Look, there's an age limit on it, right? So if it's...
This pig was like 2 or 3 years old.
I'm guessing the butcher said that this is time, right? Didn't she save it a 2-month-old from a butcher?
Yes.
Okay.
And it was her pet.
So, like, it's born ready, so to speak.
I mean, look, my buddy Sal, his wife's family has cattle, too. And, like, when you go to his house, they have the best beef sticks you'll ever eat in your life.
You know where they're coming from.
The best beef sticks.
And they're not mean about it. Very, like, to get a little old or whatever, like,
sure.
Just slaughter.
That's why they're like, look, I don't have a Costco membership. I got a farm.
I mean, I know people who buy a half a cow every year. They're happy as a pig and you know what.
Well, you could name it.
Yeah.
Hola! The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.